السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How is everyone doing today? الحمد لله. Okay, inshallah, let's begin. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما ربنا زدنا علما ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سقيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Indeed, all praise belongs to Allah, and we praise Him, and we ask Him for guidance and forgiveness, and we seek protection in Allah from the evil of our own souls and the evil of our actions. Whom Allah guides, no one can lead him astray, and whom He misguides, no one can lead him back to the right path. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah. And then there is no associate to him. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. Insha'Allah, today we have selected an ayah from Juz 6. And that is Surah Nisa, ayah number 148. So inshallah, let's listen to the recitation first.
لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم وكان الله سميعا عليما.
Rasulullah says, لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم وكان الله سميعا عليما. Allah does not like the public mention of evil except by the one who has been wronged. And ever is Allah all hearing, all knowing. So this ayah mainly talks about public mentioning of evil, scandalizing something or making something, you know, public, which is none of your concern or which is something is going to spread something evil. So let's inshallah take some insight from the ayah and let's pick some very, very important lessons for us, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a very important social principle in this ayah that must be established. And that is the obligation of avoiding any negative speech in public. Avoiding any negative speech in public. In Tafsir al-Sa'di, he writes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here tells us that He does not like, لا يحب الله, He does not like anyone to speak ill of others in public. He dislikes and hates that, and then He will punish for it as well. And that includes all bad words that cause offense and upset others. And all of that is forbidden and it is hateful to Allah. It's a very big statement. لا يحب الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like at all. الجهر بالسوء. What is الجهر? جهر means to declare something openly. By saying it, by using your words, or even by doing something publicly so everybody can see. And بالسوء, especially بالسوء من القول, so because it is about the speech, qawl means the speech or the words. As-su'i min al-qawl means anything that is bad in words, evil words, ill speech. Those words that somebody is using, they can be based on reality or they can be based on assumption. But they can be a cause of hurt and grief to others. So this is included in al-jahra bis-su'i min al-qawli. It will include any form of insulting others, any form of slandering others, or backbiting someone, lying about someone, making fun of others, mocking at others. And if we are only voicing something out loud from any of these acts that we just said, or even saying it secretly to someone, because you have anyways, you know, said it. If I say something even secretly to someone, I have already made it public. It's no more a secret now. So that is also included in this. So one, yes, voicing it out loud, making it, you know, really, really public that everybody knows about it, or just one or two people know about it because you have told them the secret of it. So that also includes in the sin of al-jahra bis-su'i min al-qawl. This is something that is uttered or done with the tongue. And we need to understand the importance of this tongue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this muscle inside our mouth that is really, you know, you can see that what it is sitting in between is our jaws and our teeth. And it needs that kind of safeguarding all the time because it can be used completely in a manner that is disliking to Allah. So it needs to be kept in check all the time. But yes, Allah has allowed the use of it when it is rightful, when it is due. Surah Al-Fatiha says in the next part of the ayah, إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ, except for the one who has been wronged. He can speak up and talk about that bad thing that happened to him. He can talk about the unjust treatment that has been done to him, because he's the one who's oppressed. He's the one who has been wronged. So he is allowed to mention that evil to others. Why does Allah SWT allow that? Put yourself in the same situation. Somebody has wronged me, and it builds the emotions of anger and anxiety inside me. And sometimes if I don't say it out to someone, I might resort to extreme measures. I might hit somebody. I might become more violent. So in order to safeguard, you know, that extreme measures, Allah SWT has given allowance to the one who has been wrong to say something, to show his or her anger. Yani he can seek help, because the purpose, who has been voicing out, you know, his ill treatment now, the purpose or the motive behind his speaking is that he needs help, because he wants somebody to get him out of that state. And that is perfectly right, because this is from defending oneself. And that is the right of every individual. Every person has the right to defend himself. So he can either talk back, right? Take a revenge. Whatever has been said, he can say it back to the person who said it. But that needs to be within limits too. Whatever has been said or whatever has been done, if you need to take a revenge, then we need to be so careful that it has to be just equal revenge. We cannot cross the limits, because, you know, I want you to understand that if somebody has wronged me, I'm already very upset with him. And if I come on taking revenge, I might cross my limits. But again, it is much better to forgive, isn't it? Because when I'm upset and I want to take help, I can call somebody and I can talk to somebody who can understand me and who can truly help me, right? But when I go beyond limit, what do? I start calling every Tom, Dick and Harry just to satisfy my own self, my own anxiety or my own anger. This is not allowed. Now, this is also coming in Jahra Bissu, because if you are the one who has been Zulim, who has been wrong, then your seeking help with the right person is allowed. That is your limit. You need to maintain. But if we cross the limits and we go beyond that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا عَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing and all knowing. Because if you forgive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever forgives and reconciles, his reward is with Allah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sadaqah does not decrease property, and Allah increases the honor of him who forgives. Because this is hard. Why is Allah increasing the honor of this person? Because the person who has been wronged and he is, you know, being generous enough to forgive the other person, that's something, you know, the act of a lot of himmah. You need a lot of azm for that. And then he continues to say that no one will humble himself for Allah's sake except that Allah raises his status. Because Allah knows how much effort it takes to do that. How much self-control and self-restraint it takes to achieve that station of forbearance. But Allah knows. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا عَلِيمًا. Such a perfect selection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's asma, the names of Allah here at the end. Like any ayah, whenever an ayah ends with the names of Allah, we really need to go back into the context of the ayah. Why Sami'an Alima? Sami'an is all hearing. He heard those words, and he is allowing the person who has been wrong to say some words as well. He has heard everyone who is angry and who is, you know, showing his anger. And then he's also all-knowing. He knows the intentions and the motives behind my speaking up. If I'm just publicizing a sin, or I'm just, you know, speaking as my right of publicizing the wrong that was done to me. Allah hears everything and Allah knows everything. Why I'm doing what I'm doing? Because Allah knows exactly what happened, who did it, who was at mistake, who was being wronged and who was wronging. No one can get away from Allah's hold, isn't it? And that is why Allah is ending up with, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا عَلِيمًا. Very, very important to understand with the context of the ayah. لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول. Allah does not like the public mention of the evil except by the one who has been wronged. But the first part is, Allah does not like public mention of the evil, period. Let's take the exception out for a minute. Just focus on the part, Allah does not like the public mention of the evil. So we need to understand what is included in the public mention of the evil. Number one, committing the sin publicly. That is mentioning it. That is making it public. That is making it known. Number two, it can include mentioning your own sins openly. Yani, you did something wrong and you're feeling bad about it. But now what you did, just to unburden yourself, you start talking about it. And then the more you talk about it, the more casual you become, isn't it? We all go through these emotions and feelings and situations. So I hope you can connect with this thing. The point here is, the lesson to be learned is that I don't want to be belonging to this group of people who are being la yuhibbullah, who has been saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like at all. And the number three, it also includes publicizing other people's mistakes. Talking about others on gatherings, discussing about their disobediences, discussing about their corruption and all of those things. What happens in our social gatherings? You know, we talk about our political leaders and, you know, yani, we are literally giving our good deeds in their account. Publicizing their mistakes. What they are doing, Allah knows already. And Allah will settle every action with either the reward or the punishment. Abu Huraira radiallahu an, he says that I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that all the sins of my followers will be forgiven. All the sins of my followers will be forgiven except those of the mujahireen from jahr. The same word that we just read in the ayah. Except for those of the mujahireen, those who commit a sin openly or disclose their sins to the people. And he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an example of such disclosure is that a person commits a sin in the night, and though Allah screens it from public, and then he comes in the morning and says, oh so and so, I did such and such evil. And he starts talking about his sin to others. Though he spent his night screened by his Lord, no one knew about this sin. And then in the morning, he removes Allah's screen from himself. This is his own action. This is his own zulm that he's doing upon himself. All he had to do was repent to Allah. Because we all make mistakes. These type of utterances, the sinful utterances that are disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many, but I've just selected few for you to follow along with me. And keep checking ourselves. I don't want to lie in any one of these categories. Ever. Right? We all make mistakes. Yes, we all might fall into these categories, you know, once in a while. But then again, repentance is my key to come out of that door. Number one, backbiting. What is it? Talking about others in their absence, especially in a manner that they will not like. Yani, backbiting is, you know, talking about someone who has some kind of a deficiency, you know, who has maybe made a mistake, who has done something. And then we mention about that person's mannerism or his statement or his actions, anything that he has done to someone else. And we know that we cannot say this in front of him or her. We would feel very awkward, you know, confronting them with the statement. And many times when we are backbiting, including myself, many times when we are backbiting, you know, we just satisfy ourselves and justify ourselves that, you know, if I have to say it to that person, I can say it. Astaghfirullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hujurat, ayah number 12. And do not spy or backbite each other. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his brother when dead? Let me read this part again. Backbiting is like what? It's like eating the flesh of his brother when he's dead. Your own brother. Your own brother, your own sister. After the death of your brother or sister, would you like to ever eat from the flesh of his brother? Astaghfirullah Rabbi. And then Allah says, yes, you would detest it. And fear Allah indeed. Wattaqullah. Allah is accepting of repentance and merciful. Inna Allah tawwabun rahim. You need to repent right away, instantly. Because it's a major sin. It's not a small thing. Another one, calumny. Talking about others so that we can damage their good reputation. Or, you know, bringing some kind of a hatred between each other's hearts. Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you know what calumny is? They said, no, Allah and His Messenger know best. Yani the Sahaba, they responded, no, Allah and His Messenger know best. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, telling people what others have said in order to create dissension between them. This is calumny. Telling people what others have said in order to create dissension between them. The only motive behind my talking to someone about somebody else is so that they can start hating each other, so they can be separated from each other. And this is so common in our society, especially, you know, when it comes to the matters of dealing with our in-laws. We are constantly at the verge of cutting throat of each other's. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from such actions and such speeches. Yes, maybe the person is being wronged. Maybe the mother-in-law is being wronged, or maybe the daughter-in-law is being wronged, or the son is being wronged, or maybe the children are being wronged. But then again, we only speak up with others just to settle our mu'amilat, not to worsen the situation, not to just win over the situation over the other. Because this is from calumny, and Rasulullah said, you have to stay away from it. Because Huzaifa radiallahu an said that Rasulullah said, the person who goes about with calumnies will never enter Jannah. Astaghfirullah. Once Rasulullah was passing by two graves. He stood there, the Sahaba were with him. He said that these two people are being tortured, not for something major that they did, not some major sin. One of them never saved himself from being soiled with his urine, thinking that it's just, you know, one drop. While the other used to go about with calumnies to make enmity between friends, to breaking up others. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then took a green leaf of a date palm tree, split it into two pieces and fixed one on each grave. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they said, O Allah's Messenger, why have you done so? He replied that I hope that their punishment might be lessened till these become dry. What does this tell me and you? Because when we get involved in certain, you know, actions, certain habits, especially the use of our words, and we become habitual of that, then the intensity of its evil becomes low. I don't feel so bad about it. Maybe the first utterance is bad. Maybe the second utterance, I feel something too. But gradually, with every, you know, next utterance from my mouth, it just loses the intensity of evil. Evil will remain evil, isn't it? Then mocking. Using some scornful speeches or words to disgrace others. You know, insulting others, finding faults in others, or just reminding others about something that they're deficient of. And then the only motive behind this is to put them down. We all know the ayah, وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to every scorner and every mocker. Woe, wail, destruction, a valley of Jahannam. The punishment is not small because the sin itself is not small. No matter how much is being practiced, it is not small. Aisha radhiyallahu anha said, a man suffering from an affliction, he passed by some women and they started laughing at him, mocking at him. So one of them got the same affliction. And then another thing is too much of talking. And this too much of talking is only purposed with overpowering others. There is really no maqsad of it other than we can have the last word. That's what the purpose is. If there's an argument going on, I have to say the last word. I have to give the peace of my mind as the last thing to stay. Rasulullah said, the most despicable among people in the sight of Allah is the ruthless, argumentative person. وَأَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. What is he trying to do? The person who is getting into this argument and then being very ruthless in his speech, he's trying to have the upper hand, or he's trying to display his knowledge or his power in argumentation, isn't it? If this is only the motive, then Rasulullah is saying he's the most despicable one in the sight of Allah. In the sight of Allah. He's trying to become big in the sight of people, but in Allah's sight, the case is completely opposite. The situation is very, very, very endangering. Vain talk, useless talk. We all fall into this category. We don't even know where we cross the limit or we cross the line. Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's a long hadith, so I'm just going to quote the end part of the hadith, and it says that Allah has hated for you vain, useless talk, and also that you talk too much about others, and you ask too many questions, especially in the disputed religious matters, and then you waste wealth. What do we learn from this? The very first thing that we heard was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates for you that you indulge into vain, useless talk. With the increase in social media, we get so many useless posts, isn't it? We are all part of certain groups where really we learn nothing. No matter how many posts are being shared, if you don't even open it for the whole maybe month or so, you are not really going to lose any good. You're not going to lose anything. We all know what are we involved in. But what happens? Just because I see the notification, I feel the urge of touching it, clicking it, opening it, reading it, watching it, listening to it. And then in the end, maybe even laughing on it. Maybe even enjoying it. We all get indulged in these kind of useless, vain talks. There is really no maqsad, no fa'idah behind them. No benefit that we get out of it. Just for the sake of just having to spread something which is useless. So if we read or we get interested in such things or even we forward to them, we are part of the same group. Because talking about others is though very easy, right? It builds up interest and then it becomes very juicy. You can continue for a very long time. But what do you get out of that? Except for, you know, just the satisfaction of our own nafs. We don't get anything out of it. But yes, we do get something out of it. And that is the wrath of Allah. La yuhibbullah. The dislike and hate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that a small thing? How can we make this transaction for ourselves? We need to check upon ourselves. What are we indulging into? What are we putting our time into? What are we looking at? What are we reading? What are we watching? Because every time it's such a small thing. Maybe just one picture, maybe just three words, maybe just 1 minute or 30 seconds a clip, audio clip. But it can come into useless vain talk. Or just talking about others. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed among the excellence of the person's Islam is that he leaves what does not concern him. And if I can take you back into the taqwa lesson. The third level, highest level of taqwa was that your heart is busy only with the remembrance of Allah. Everything else that is not concerning to you is out of your heart. This is the highest level of taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq, achieve that station of taqwa. And then the one who is indulging into arguments and fighting. Abu Umama narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no people go astray after having been guided, but they resort to arguing. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the ayah from Surah Zukhruf, ayah 58. Ma warabuhu laka illa jadala. Yani they quote an example just for the sake of jadal, argument. بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ خَصِيمُونَ. But they are only quarrelsome people. It is not liked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like these kind of statements. Because when we are a person of this character, having to do with backbiting or mocking or, you know, overpowering others in a speech and talking without any thinking or just having a useless talking, there's a higher chance that we are really becoming difficult for other people to deal with. They might start avoiding us. Aisha narrates that once a man sought permission to come into the house of Rasulullah and while she was in the presence. So he said that what a disagreeable man he is. He knew who had come and about him Rasulullah had, you know, shown his dislike that he's a very disagreeable man. But then he gave him the permission to come in. And then he came in, Rasulullah spoke to him very gently. And then after he had left, Aisha radhiyallahu anha says that I asked the Messenger of Allah that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you said what you said and then you spoke to him gently. And you already said that he is a very disagreeable man, but then you spoke to him gently. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Aisha, some of the worst people are those who have been granted gentle treatment for fear of their ill manners. People are dealing with them gently just because they don't want to deal with them. So that they just leave, they go away. Because if you start confronting them, they will only indulge into argumentative talks, quarreling. So people start ignoring them. People start avoiding them. We don't want to be such a person. And I'm sure we all have experienced these kind of interactions, maybe relations. And we don't want to be this kind of a person at all. Because the consequences are very severe. And then the last one, passing judgment on others. Ya Allah, we are just literally as if we have the right to do this. We are all part of this thing. We all think that this is my right to talk about any person, any time, in any language. It was narrated that Abdullah Adilan said, defaming a Muslim is evil doing. Defaming a Muslim is evil doing, a su. And fighting him is kufr, because he's a Muslim. You need to safeguard his izzah. Another narration, Abdullah radiallahu anhu reports, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ, the one who is not a believer, بِالطَّعَانِ. A believer is not a defamer who gives ta'an. وَلَا الْلِعَانِ, nor a cursor who does la'an. وَلَا الْفَاحِشِ, outrageous. Any believer cannot be outrageous, losing his cool and losing his, you know, getting into ruthless argumentations. وَلَا الْبَذِي, nor obscene. A believer is not a defamer, nor a cursor, nor outrageous, nor obscene, because he is a believer. And he has Allah in his life. And he has taqwa of Allah in his heart. He cannot open his mouth, utter words which are from ta'an and li'an and fahisha and badhi, because he thinks before he talks, right? Ikrama was heard to say that I don't know which of them, either Ibn Abbas radiallahu an or Ibn Umar radiallahu an, was giving his companion some food, and at that time a slave girl was working in their presence. One of them said to her, yani, out loud, a zani, yani, fornicator. They slandered her. Upon this he said, go easy. Yani, he tried to stop him. The person who said it, he tried to stop him. Because if she does not exact the had or the punishment, yani, for slandering, from you in this world, she will take it from you in the next world. Slandering is a huge, it's a major sin. It's a big issue. In this life and in the next one too. Upon this, the man said, and what do you think if what I'm saying is the truth? So then he replied, either it was Ibn Umar or it was Ibn Abbas, he replied that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like anyone who greatly exceeds the sounds in speaking of indecencies. Exceeds the sounds in speaking of indecencies. It's one word, but it has many meanings. So many things comes in indecencies. Exactly what we are discussing. Indecency is jahra bisu. And we need to be aware of this thing in depth. So we can, inshallah, safeguard ourselves from all forms of it, from all shapes of it. Even if it's a small thing, we need to really think about before we bring it on our tongue. Before my mouth gets the one who utters those words. Because these words have effect. They have influences. You know, we all know that we all make mistakes. I mean, all of those things that we just learned in the previous slide, we all make mistakes and we are all part of these things. Backbiting or, you know, mocking or argumentations. We are all part of it. Because human beings are inherently prone to commit sins. And Allah knows that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is why He says He's Ghafoor al-Rahim. Why is He Ghafoor al-Rahim? Because He knows that humans are going to commit sins and mistakes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can act upon His sifa of maghfira. Allah knows that. Because sometimes we sin by not fulfilling the rights of Allah. Right? And sometimes we become sinful by being deficient in fulfilling the rights of others. But a true believer, what does he do? He feels remorse in his heart after committing such a mistake. He turns back to his Rabb, seeking his forgiveness, seeking his repentance right away, instantly. Not letting that feeling of remorse go away. He holds on to that and he just uses it to seek Allah's forgiveness. He turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his turning back, the same turning back, though he is a sinner, he is the one who sinned and made a mistake. But when he turns back, the same action of turning back becomes the means of elevation for his levels in the eyes of Allah. His ranks are raised. This repentance not only washes away the sin or cleans his record, rather he becomes the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his repentance and turns him back in the state of righteousness as if this sin was never committed. But on the other hand, a person commits a sin, and then he does not feel ashamed of himself. This indicates that there is something wrong with his heart. The heart is diseased. And then, not just here, on top of that, he would start making mention of it publicly. In the name of boldness, in the name of bravery, of maybe you can say self-confidence. But this is sin upon sin, isn't it? Because committing one sin is regarded as one evil action. And then with every one bad deed, my heart becomes black. It gets a black dot. And this is not what I'm saying. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, verily when the servant commits a sin, a black mark appears upon his heart. If he abandons the sin, seeks forgiveness and repents, then his heart will be polished. But if he returns to the sin, the blackness will be increased until it overcomes his heart. What does that mean? Completely black. And then he said, it is the covering that Allah has mentioned about, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. In Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Allah Ta'ala says, no, rather a covering is over their hearts, ra'an, from what they have earned. Because they didn't stop. After one black spot, they didn't stop. After one evil deed, they didn't stop. After uttering one bad word, they felt the urge of saying something else too. And then upon that, something else too. Yani, one sin was, you committed a sin, and then the second was publicizing it. This is insisting upon sins. This makes the heart insensitive. Such a person becomes very thick-skinned. Then no advice works on him. Such a person becomes far away from the mercy of Allah. Very hard-hearted. Just like, you know, we read the hadith a little while ago where Rasulullah said that all of my ummah would be pardoned except for those who publicize the sins. Their sins will be pardoned if they don't publicize it. And the whole hadith of the one who does an action evil in the night and then he does not hide it in the morning. Another step. Sometimes the evil has been committed by an individual, right? Somebody did something wrong and I got the post of it. And now I started spreading it. That means I am part of the sin. I am the one who is scandalizing it and making it widespread. The one who actually initially committed the sin, he might have repented and gone back to the state of forgiveness of Allah and become righteous again. The one who initially committed the sin. But the one who is publicizing it, he continues to stay in the state of sinning. Sinning of ghiba, sinning of slandering, sinning of defaming somebody, calumny. How will he come out of that sin? Shubayl ibn Auf radiallahu anhu said that it is said, whoever hears something indecent and then spreads it is like the one who originated it. Ya Rabbi lakal hamd, astaghfirullah. Whoever hears something indecent, and we are all part of this. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional right now because, you know, the bombardments of these images and these posts and these videos and all of these things, and majority of them are really falling into this. Whoever hears something indecent and then spreads it, he is like the one who originated it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this kind of publicizing. He does not like the publicizing of sins and evils. Because when we make any evil a public discourse, what happens? Everybody starts thinking about it. And I want you to, you know, try to connect with what I'm trying to say. Because if something comes to me as a news about someone else, my mind will be just stuck in it. I'll keep thinking more and more about it. And if I had an evil heart, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, keep us protected. Those who have evil mind, they will feel influenced by listening to such things. That if he can do it, I can do it too. What a big deal now. It's a trend. So it starts influencing others to do something bad, something evil too. It opens the door for them. Because they just saw, if somebody else can do it, it's already in the market. You know, everybody knows about it. If I do it, nobody, you know, would say anything anyways. Yani, the spreading of the evil can go up to the extent that it doesn't even sound bad anymore. It becomes part of our casual conversations. And I hope you can connect with that and understand that we need to keep a check on ourselves. What are my conversations about? And what is my comfort level in doing that? Another very, very evil effect of it. That if it is about somebody, you know, and I'm part of spreading it and I'm part of publicizing it, it's going to damage the reputation of that person. And this damage is not usually small. This damage can go up to the extent that that person cannot even function in the society normally. What will happen? If a person cannot function on a normal basis, it will lead to injustices in the society. Then who is to be blamed? And then another effect is, in this dunya, the wrath of Allah is upon such people. There's a hadith, and I'll just say the gist of it, that Rasulullah said that when indecency becomes widespread in the nation, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends plague or other diseases which no one has even heard of. Are we witnessing that? Yes, we are. And we need to go back to the source. What went wrong? Where? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these sufferings in the form of, you know, different types of calamities and diseases because of the injustices of our words and our actions. So many nations have been destroyed and perished. The nation of Nuh, Lut, nation of the Ad and Thamud. All of these people, they were perished, they were destroyed. And we need to go and learn about what made them see that end. Why the destruction was their destiny in the end. It was not that they actually had a husnul khatimah. They had a very, very, very su'ul khatimah, very bad end. Allah left them as perished nations for us to learn from. And after this dunya, this punishment in the akhirah. What can be more evil than this? Because on the day of judgment, a person would be made to carry the burden of the sins of others just because they were making it public. We would have enough of our own load to carry, and then upon that we have to carry the burden of someone else's sins too. Imagine. This is terrible. We really need to take a step back and think before we indulge into certain things, because these things have become part of our society. They are so widespread that literally as if we are breathing it and we don't even feel it anymore. It's just in the air. And we are all part of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We need to constantly seek Allah's protection for this. But yes, Allah has allowed certain type of speeches. Right? In this situation. Because Allah has said that illa man zulim. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says illa man zulim, that you can speak up if you have been wronged. Zulim means oppression. And that means that someone's right has not been given. Abu Dharr reported, radiallahu anh, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah the Exalted, the Glorious said, O my servants, I have forbidden oppression for myself and I have made it forbidden amongst you, so do not oppress one another. Please listen to it again. Allah is saying, Rabbul Izzah, O my servants, I have forbidden oppression for myself. This oppression can be as small as oppression of a parent on a child or children on their parents. As small as a husband on their wife or wife's oppression on their husbands. Or any other relationship you can take. It's part of every household. Allah is saying, I've forbidden oppression for myself and I've made it forbidden amongst you. So do not oppress one another. Bullying is a big issue in schools these days. We need mental health workers to work with such kids and even adults. It has become a profession to treat such people now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has outlined certain rights upon us for others, right? Everyone has certain rights that we need to give to others. But human beings, due to several, many reasons, we start falling short on fulfilling each other's rights. And then what happens? We end up committing oppression against each other. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, illa man zulim, that means Allah has allowed to take revenge. Because Allah allows me and it makes it permissible for the person who has been wronged to take his due. This is from the protection of his own rights. In Surah Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who, when tyranny strikes them, they defend themselves. And the retribution for an evil act is an evil one like it. But whoever pardons and makes reconciliation, his reward is due from Allah. Indeed, he does not like the wrongdoers. And whoever avenges himself after having been wronged, those have not upon them earned any cause. They don't have any blame. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. They can do that. In Tafsir al-Sa'di, Tafsir of this ayah, إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ, he writes that, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ, it means that it is permissible for such a person to pray against the one who has wronged him, or to complain about him, or to say bad things back to the one who has said it. All these three situations are allowed. Let me reiterate it. The person who has been wronged, Allah allows him to make dua against the one who has wronged him. Can he make a dua of curse? Ya Allah. If Allah has allowed, that means Allah will listen to this dua and accept this dua. Number two, he can complain about that person. He can talk to somebody about him. He can seek help. Or he can settle the matter, you know, between him and the other person himself by saying the things, maybe bad, but saying that bad word back to him. But then it has to be within limits too. Regarding the permissibility of such a person to pray against the person that Allah has given him the allowance, it's something that needs to be taken very seriously. There is a story of a man who came to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he said to him that my neighbor hurts me, he harms me with his speech. So Rasulullah said, take your bags and put them on the road, and then whoever passes them, they will curse on him. And that's exactly what happened. He went back, he took all his furniture out of the house, his bags and everything, started putting them on the road outside his house. Whoever is passing by, they were asking what happened. So he would say that my neighbor bothers me. He hurts me. He doesn't, you know, deal with me in a nice and kind manner. So whoever was passing by and he heard about that neighbor, they start cursing that neighbor. And so this person went back to Rasulullah. So Rasulullah asked him, how many people have you met? Because then the neighbor came out and he said that it's enough. It's enough means you can go back to your house. I will not harm you anymore. So what did Rasulullah made him do? Publicize his oppression. Bring it out on the road so people can see it. Though in the beginning of the ayah, we said, Jahra bisu, we should not do that. But in this situation, this person is oppressed. The curses of everyone stopped the person who was wronging him from his bad action. And that is why Allah has allowed this kind of publicizing or this kind of speaking to be allowed, to be permissible. Because this is from giving the protection to the oppressed one. And it is important to fear such people. If Allah is with them in this regard, we must fear these people. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be on your guard against committing oppression, for oppression is a darkness on the day of resurrection. We don't want to be in this situation at all, especially on that day. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed to take revenge, it has to be equal. It has to be measured. There are some limits that need to be maintained. If he's allowed to talk back, but then this talking back has to be without lying. He cannot go beyond limits. Yani beyond the level of wrong that was done to him. Yani overstepping the other person now. Because, you know, when we are in the situation or a position of taking revenge, it is so easy to cross the boundaries, said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what do? We end up committing oppression and sin ourselves. Though we were the one who were wronged, now by crossing the boundaries of revenge, we are the one who are wronging. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed one to invoke him against whoever wronged him without transgressing the limits. Allah has allowed a person who has been wronged to invoke a curse upon the other person, but without transgressing the limits. That is the key here. Only in this strict condition Allah has allowed, illa man zulim. Abdul Karim bin Manik al-Jazari, he said about this ayah, and this was in the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, he mentions that when a man curses you, you could curse him in retaliation. But if he lies about you, then you cannot lie about him. A very wise thing to understand here. When a man curses you, you can curse him back, equal. When he starts to lie, this is not acceptable. Lying is not a trait of a believer. And then after that, we need to understand that definitely the best of the practices would be forgive. It is better than revenge. Forgiving is better than revenge. Hasan al-Basri commented that one should not invoke for curses against whoever wronged him. Rather, he should supplicate, O Allah, help me against him. And O Allah, take my right from him. You are giving your ma'amala, your matter in the hands of Allah. Isn't that the best deal to do? Because, you know, when we are so preoccupied with the wrongs that others have committed against us, yani if people have wronged us, we are constantly just bombarded with those thoughts. And then we start losing the focus of one of the most beautiful ways to get closer to Allah. This is my chance to get closer to Allah. How? By forgiving, not taking the revenge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the very next ayah that we are doing, 148, the 149 ayah says, إِن تُبْدُوا خَيْرًا أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ أَوْ تَعْفُوا عَنْ سُوءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا. If instead you show some good or conceal it or pardon an offense, indeed Allah is ever pardoning and competent. If I do this, I can feel the presence of Allah in my life, the rahmah of Allah in my life, because He allowed me to practice that rahm. And we need to practice this. I'm not saying it's easy. It is tough. There is a study in which it shows that people who focused on their personal grudges, they had increased blood pressures and heart rates. They had increased muscle tensions. And they felt being so low in control of themselves. And those same participants, they were asked to imagine forgiving their wrongdoers. Whoever oppressed them, whoever said something wrong or did something wrong to them, just forgive. Forgive and forget. And the study shows that they said that they felt more positive, more relaxed, and their conditions changed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength to forgive others. Even if they are at fault and we are not at fault, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this strength. We need to seek Allah's protection from oppressing others. And there's a beautiful dua that Rasulullah has taught us. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri. Wa a'udhu bika min al-qillati wa dhillati. Wa a'udhu bika an azlima aw udlam. O Allah, verily I seek refuge in you from poverty, scarcity, humiliation, and I seek refuge in you from wrongdoing others or being wronged. Azlima, that I wrong somebody else, or uzlima, or I be wronged by somebody else. We need to have good alternatives here, right? We need to make good choices. And good choices are of those words, that speech that is most beloved to Allah. Whose speech is most beloved to Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, a beautiful ayah, Surah Fussilat, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. And who is better in a speech than the one who invites to Allah? وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and does righteousness. وَقَالَ, and then he says, إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, indeed I am the Muslim. We still remember a lesson. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. They always remain wary of their end, their meeting of Allah. So whatever comes out of their mouth is the best speech. Their best speech includes calling people towards Allah or saying something good to others, giving them good advice. Rasulullah said, Ad-deenu an-nasiha. The deen, the religion is nasiha, good advice, sincere advice. Or whenever opening up your mouth, speaking softly and kindly. Abdullah bin Amr said, there are four qualities such that if you were to be given them, you will not be harmed even if the world were to be taken away from you. Four qualities: good character, restrain in food, truthful speech, and upholding a trust. You will not be harmed even if the world were to be taken away from you. You will not lose anything. Rasulullah said that,
indeed in paradise there are chambers whose outside can be seen from their inside, and their inside can be seen from their outside. A Bedouin stood up and asked, who are they for, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, for those who speak well, feed others, they fast regularly, and they perform salah for Allah during the nights while others sleep.
Yani, everybody can see inside and outside and enjoy the view. But who are these palaces for? Allah has prepared them for those who speak gently, who provide food, observe frequent fast, and pray during the night when people are sleeping. The first quality, who speak gently. It also takes covering up other people's fault. And this is something huge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, and tell my servants to say that which is best. Indeed, shaitan induces dissension among them. He incites them to say something to uncover the fault and sins of others. Inna shaitana kana al-insani aduwwan mubeena. Indeed, shaitan is a clear enemy to mankind. Abu Huraira radhiyallahu anhu said that Rasulullah said, Allah will cover up on the day of resurrection the defects and faults of the one who covers up the faults of others in the world. Such a big security. Allah will cover me up just because I cover somebody else's defects. And then the last one, refraining from useless speech. If we do that, this is beloved to Allah. Because I know that everything is being recorded. Right? So I use my words very, very wisely. They're precious. They're very precious because they're being recorded. And I will be held accountable for that. And for all of this, we need Allah's assistance. So we ask Allah. We ask Allah to give us that kind of a tongue that will only utter truth. It's a long dua that I have just taken the part of. And inshallah, the whole dua can also be shared in your groups. And this is a dua from Rasulullah Sallam. Allahumma hadi qalbi. O Allah, guide my heart. Wasaddid lisani. O Allah, make my tongue true. Wastu sakhi mata qalbi. And draw out the malice in my breast. Allahumma hadi qalbi. Wasaddid lisani. Wastu sakhi mata qalbi. We need to do a lot, but take small steps. Start being aware of meeting Allah. It will help. Start watching out what is your tongue being used for. Only use it for good words. Try to avoid any useless conversations. Do not spread any news, any sin of others. Do not be part of that. Ignore other people's mistakes. I'm sorry the time is up, but I just want to give you a small example. In my classroom once, I was teaching my grade 2 class and I started writing some numbers on the board and I just wanted to teach them how you ignore other people's mistakes because that is happening in the class all the time. Teacher, he did this and Falan did this, right? So I wrote the numbers and as I was writing, I missed just one number. So for example, I wrote 90, 91, 93, 90. And as soon as I write 93 after 91, most of them said, you missed 92. And I said, but I wrote so many numbers correct. I did 90 to 91 correct. I did 93 to all the way 97 correct. You didn't notice that and you said that was all correct. You only noticed the mistake that I made in the middle. We need to learn to ignore other people's mistakes. Forgive others. Always respond with ihsan because we want ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, I stop here for today. Jazakum Allah khairan kaseera. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who stay away from all type of false speech. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tongue that can only speak the truth and only speak what is beloved to Allah. That is calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reminding others to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.